Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
One of the joys of my coming to understand what actually is going on has been my discovery that some people who've died here maintain lively relationships with those they left behind. And sometimes, too, those who have gone ahead of us soon are up to some very big things. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest this week is Betty Ann Miller. Her husband, Murray, theoretically died 3 years ago, and it was then that his real fun seems to have begun. Welcome, Betty Ann. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you, Roberta. Thank you for the opportunity to share that love is eternal.
It is. Now, Betty Ann and I are both delighted about what Murray is up to. She and I met a couple of years ago, and I've interviewed her before, so I kind of am familiar with Murray, but he's even up to bigger things now. Let's just talk briefly about, he had a terminal event, right? So this wasn't, tell us how he died.
He originally had 11 vertebrae fused, 7 in his back and 4 in his neck. So his mobility.
Wow.
mobility issues. However, he had a very severe stroke and he would never have walked, talked, or swallowed again. And I was so very grateful to God for taking him so quickly. And I'm okay with that. I was always at peace with that. As he has since told me since he passed over, he sure wouldn't want to live that way.
No, and he's proven to me that you can get right started on having fun right as soon as you get there. But you began to hear from him pretty quickly, right?
I expected to hear from him. I knew with all my heart I would, and it was 8 months when he came to my precious friend Blair's home when we were having dinner. And he turned the sports channel on the TV on and off 3 times. We knew with all our hearts who was responsible. And he has confirmed with 3 different mediums, yes, he was responsible. And that was just the beginning of the most amazing journey I could not have dreamt or imagined what it's been like.
What else has he done? Because a lot of people wonder what kinds of signs the dead will give to us. And I know he's been very active. What else has he done for you?
Well, first of all, we've had 74 readings.
my goodness. So you kept him busy with mediums. Okay, that makes sense.
But as to what he's done on signs, oh, this one was totally amazing. It was just 2 days before our 58th wedding anniversary, and it was a Sunday. I arrived at church, I walked down the aisle, and the chair that he originally occupied, I now sit in, was covered in silver sparkles, the one and only. And when I looked at it, it was heavenly made to perfection, little diamonds in each covered in sparkles. And I knew it was a gift from heaven. And he has since said through mediums that he arranged with very advanced artisans on the other side to make this happen as an anniversary gift for me.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Wow.
Yeah, it really is. And recently, just as I was leaving Phoenix, I was sitting in the airport. I went into the ladies' room. I had a small flashlight in my carry-on. And believe me, I have to put my strength on that button to turn it on. All of a sudden, it is shining brightly, and I knew that I was not alone. I knew he was with me. And another, do you want me to continue on?
No, I just think it's beautiful. I think it's important to stress that this kind of sign is pretty advanced. It's what he did turning the TV on and off is, I think, more common. Even more common is leaving coins or leaving feathers, a familiar scent. Sometimes we'll hear things that we know seem to be coming from them. But Murray's a pretty advanced guy, and so he's doing some pretty advanced things. So what's one more that he's given you?
Well, recently I had a journalist interview me, and she said she could hardly concentrate because throughout the entire interview, we had one monarch butterfly, and then the resident itty-bitty white one were around us the entire time. But at the end, we sat chatting, and she looked down and looked at me and said, "Do you see what I see?" And there was a brilliant miniature rainbow on the carpet at the leg of her chair. Then there was a space and an identical one at the leg of my chair. We were sitting in the sunroom. There hadn't been a drop of rain. And she said she could feel a spirit present.
And wow. I'll say.
I can feel Marie's presence.
Wow.
Yeah,
so really and he's been happy this whole time, right? He strikes me as a very sort of lighthearted guy. Is he the same person that he was before he left?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's loving every, and he's golfing.
He's golfing.
He's golfing 5 days a week here. I don't know. He seems to be golfing almost every day when he's not involved with his other major responsibilities.
That's another thing I want to stress. I mean, having met Mikey Morgan and learned that he had last been on Earth in the 1600s, he came back to have a brief Earth lifetime that ended when he was 20 in 2007. And during that brief time, he learned how to snowboard, which was not something they were doing in the 1600s. And lo and behold, he snowboards there now. So clearly these things that they enjoyed doing in this lifetime, they keep on doing when they get there.
Very much so.
What has he told you about where he is now? Do you have? Has he given you any details that people might want to hear?
Would you like to talk about the North American Transmission Station?
Well, I'm saving that. We have a big surprise for later in the podcast. What I'm trying to do is first kind of orient ourselves. Here's someone who 3 years ago, I think a very advanced being. He died from here and he went there and he golfs. And what else is he? Has he told you, like, what it looks like? Is he living in a house? Who has he met? What has he told you about his new life?
Well, he is spending a lot of time with my family and his family. And he's just as considerate over there as he was here. As an example, I had a reading on Thanksgiving Day, our Canadian Thanksgiving Day, which was just last week. And it was so wonderful because I know he would have arranged for my uncle to come through. And the first person that came through was my Uncle Ted. And he had passed 4 months ago, and he showed he had 5 nieces, and I was his favorite. And I could just sense how excited he was to hear from me, because when he passed over, his... early in June, actually, it was our 60th wedding anniversary. Oh, I should tell you about that, because that was amazing. We had an amazing 60th wedding anniversary together through the other side.
Now, let's back up a step. He died on your 60th wedding anniversary?
No, he died on June the 2nd, 16 days before our 60th
wedding. Oh, I see. Okay.
And his wife, Aunt Rita, came into the reading. And her words were, "Safe upon arrival, big sleep, resting, it's all part of the big plan." And I was devastated because I thought there would be the biggest party when Uncle Ted arrived. And consequently, he had to sleep upon arrival.
Yes. That often is the case. We should just mention that. That's one reason, one of several, that mediums typically will make you wait a few months before you attempt to contact people who are dead. There seems to be, for many of us, a period of rest and even sleep right after we arrive. Once we're acclimated there, we seem never to sleep again. We don't have any weariness. We never really need to sleep. But there seems to be that last period when we need to do that. So we have to allow those who have just made this trip to have that sleep. And although, as you say, it can be kind of hard, we're kind of impatient to make that contact again.
Yes, but that would just show you Murray's consideration to ensure that Amitai came through first in the reading. But something Murray refers to often is that he helps people cross over, and he has the ability to help people transition. And recently, he refers that he visits our hospital often, and it's so easy for him to come and go, but he particularly likes to visit the room with the robin's egg blue. He likes the energy of this room. Now, incidentally, he died in that room. And I'm at that hospital once a week, every week for pastoral care visiting, and I've only ever found one room in robin's egg blue.
How interesting. So he visits the hospital to help people who are about to graduate, and he especially likes that one room where he himself died.
Yes, he does.
Isn't it funny? So
people don't need to worry if they're in that room, because I've visited many, and there's only been one that's passed away since Murray did in that room. But yes, he mentions often that he has this ability, and oh, you couldn't have a finer person helping you cross over.
I think it's important to mention, because some people are saying, why would we need help? Well, the process of graduating to the next level of reality is as much out of our control, really, as the process of birth is. As much as you have no clue while you're being born what's going on or what's happening next, that seems to be the case when we die as well. So, which is why we have deathbed visitors, people who come to help us graduate and transition and then get to the next level, energy level, pretty easily. And sometimes there will be people we don't know, which might be Murray, who are there, friendly strangers who just help us. He seems to be, I would say, does he say he's a sixth level being? He's a very, obviously a very high level being.
Well, we'll get into that, because he's spending a lot of time on the sixth level.
Which he couldn't do if he didn't have energy at that level. So that's wonderful news. But anyway, since he's of such an advanced energy level, he is probably able himself to protect people from negative experiences as they pass through the lowest afterlife levels on their way to where they're going. So it would make a lot of sense, Betty Ann, that he is in fact doing that and helping people to transition. What a wonderful thing.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yes, I'm so happy for people. Murray did indicate that he transitioned very quickly. It was a whoosh in his ears, as easy as pie, and my mom and dad and his mother came to help him with his transition. So I'm sure they came to the room painted in robin's egg blue.
Yes. Yes. And so I can hear people saying, didn't she grieve her husband? Isn't she sad? Have you been sad about this?
I have such a strong faith. Of course I would be sad. I love my husband with all my heart. I do.
That's clear. Actually, that's very clear.
I was concerned that he would be comfortable over there. So there was no point grieving. What I needed to do was educate myself. So I immediately started to educate myself. And he just kept putting more and more brilliant people in my pathway. So I just kept learning and learning and learning.
My dear, you are an inspiration to us all. That is, I think, the ideal way for us. Because we all are going to have people we love just go on ahead of us. And the right way to handle it is what you've done. I've got to learn where he is or she is. I want to make sure they're fine. And then I should go on with my own life with joy, because I'll know I'll see them again.
Oh, I know I'll see him again. I can hardly wait.
Right. Well, stay with us at least for the rest of this hour. But no, I understand. People say to me, since you're not afraid to die at all, my family has a mild concern that I'll just decide it's time to leave. And of course, we won't do that. We know we have work to do, you and I still. I mean, you're a wonderful mouthpiece for Murray here, and I know he's trying to help people here understand that there's nothing to fear and how wonderful life and death are and eternal life is. So you have work to do still, as do I.
I realize that. It's becoming very clear to me what my job description is.
Yes, but it's a wonderful one. So what is he living in a house? What is he actually doing besides golfing and the wonderful work we're about to talk about?
Apparently, he has two homes. Apparently, he has a home, and it sounds like a townhouse. Apparently, he has two for me to live in when I come over. So,
oh, boy. It's good that you can manifest furniture. You don't have to keep moving stuff from one place to the next.
And apparently, he sometimes likes to spend time, I would think, in the mountains where it's cooler. He enjoys being, but it's supposed to be 70 there all the time, so I'm not clear about when.
Well, but maybe he likes the view. There are, according to Mikey, the mountains there are really, really spectacular. And we actually have some photographs of the mountains that were transmitted, about 20 years ago. And it's the scenery is beyond compare in the North American Summerland, which was where he would be.
Yes, he arrived in the Summerland, yes. And speaking of photos, and I did mention this in my last interview, but I do have three photos of Murray in real time from the Brazilian researcher, Sonia Rinaldi. And I can promise you, they are absolutely Murray. I would know his eyes anywhere, and his hair is exactly what it was at 26 years of age.
I've seen those pictures, too. Sonia Rinaldi is a leading researcher in the field of afterlife communication via electronic means, computers in this case. And one of the things that her team, and the dead teams are the ones who are the real researchers here. The people who are working with them on this side will say that they're the lab assistants. They're the ones who try to help make happen what the dead are trying to manifest. But one of the things Sonia Rinaldi, who's Brazilian, does is to receive photographs taken there of our loved ones. And of course, everybody in the afterlife, you can choose how you look, and most people choose to look between when we were 25 and when we were 35, thereabouts. And you say he looks about 28. That sounds very nice. But yeah, this very nice looking man who was your husband had his photograph taken now in the afterlife levels and transmitted to Sonia in Brazil, which is such a dramatic thing to even imagine. But she has moved on even from that, and she's helping children reconnect with their parents after the children have died. It's just what the work she's doing is extraordinary, and what we need to do is get it started here. And Murray knows that, right? So Murray is working on it. We're going to talk about that now, but first I just should interrupt us and say, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and Liberating Jesus. And I also assisted Mikey Morgan in telling his beautiful, heart-lifting story in Flying High in Spirit, a young snowboarder's account of his ride through heaven. It's just out. You can learn more about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Now, our guest today is Betty Ann Miller. Her husband, Murray, is using his interpersonal skills and obviously his spiritual skills to help all of us to advance the cause of afterlife communication. And this, to me, is a very exciting development. We're going to talk about that now. So Betty Ann, tell me what you... I have read the notes you made when you spoke with him through my beautiful friend, Suzanne Wilson. But tell us that story. What did he say he's doing now, and where did he take you?
Well, it's really interesting. Suzanne started fasten your seatbelts. We are going to take a ride. Your husband is unforgettable.
Right.
And after I had been to the Phoenix Conference in 2014, and I learned about the soul phone from Professor Gary Schwartz, I came back, and I always had honey to-do lists when Murray was here. So the new list was, must help get this station up and running. Well, I never dreamt the role he would take.
So you started this. You said, Murray, you're going to do this.
I did.
Oh, wow.
And you know that, and him trust and obey?
I think it's very good. I mean, our husbands have to be, you know, kept to heel and made to understand what they need to do. And I think it's wonderful you're still giving him his lists. I think that's great.
And he put us in a conference room on the sixth level. And with that, Suzanne said, I'm looking at Harry Houdini, Monty Keene. Monty recognized Suzanne, gave her a salute. Thomas Albert Edison. And then she informed me, your husband is on the committee. Wow. Isn't that something?
Wow is right. All right, let's explain. The sixth level is a very, very advanced level of the afterlife. It's really right below the source level. That's also where Mikey lives. But very few people who are sixth level beings are even in communication with us. In order for Murray to be there in a meeting for any length of time at that level, he probably is at or very close to the sixth level himself in development. So that's exciting by itself. And there you have all of these really, some of them famous people who are all working on what he told you was the North American station, right?
Yes, I'm going to get back to that in just a second. But when I heard about the sixth level, I questioned Suzanne, how is that possible? And she replied, he's a super achiever. He's just at the end of the class.
Right, right. Well, this is if you're going to be a good achiever, this is one place it really, really counts. So you really want to do it there.
He was always an achiever and always competitive, but his role on the North American station is persuasion with the aliens of other dimensions. He's using his skills to negotiate with the other interdimensional beings to get, so to speak, the fiber optic cable through their realms.
Okay, this is a big sort of bit for us to swallow. First, let's just say the North American station is an attempt by a team of the dead, and you've named some of them. There are others as well, who are trying to develop for English speakers in North America the same thing that Portuguese speakers in South America now have, headed by Sonia Rinaldi. And the goal is sometime as soon as possible to have communication via computer here so that people would be able to, and people also do this by phone apparently in Brazil, people will be able to have a chat with their dead loved ones. That's the goal, without even a medium. And this notion of laying cable kind of blows my mind, but we're told that it isn't actually cable what they're laying, but it's enough like laying cable that's the term they're using to their researchers here. So what you're saying is familiar to me. I just want to make sure that we don't leave anyone in the dust here. So Murray, after his wife said, you get in there and do it, he went in there and he started to do it.
He did. And Roberta, thank you for mentioning that, because I want to emphasize to the audience, it was strictly my words, the fiber optic cable.
Yes.
His words were to get the lines, channels through their realms.
Yes. Yeah. It is. I've heard other people call it laying cable, though. That's a term that the dead have used in talking to their living contemporaries, because they apparently say there's no other way to describe it. Now, we know that the areas where the dead are exactly where we are, separated from us only by their different rates of vibration. They're different kinds of energy. So this doesn't need to be a long cable, but what you're saying is that it's needing, they're having to lay it through some areas which are occupied by beings who are not human. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he talks about being blocked by bumpy green things.
I know about them.
Some are bizarre. Some slavery goes on. Some strange things happen. And he also said the committee have to protect themselves. So in a subsequent reading, I indicated that I did have some concerns for him. He, of course, wouldn't be concerned. And he said, not to worry, the committee look after each other. So there's no concern.
These bumpy green things are something I've also encountered. I was having a reading with Suzanne Wilson to talk with my spirit guide, and she said, why am I seeing Craig Hogan's face? I said, well, we work very closely together, obviously. And she said, they want to give him a message. His team wants to give him a message. And it is that the reason you're having trouble now with your experiments is that there are these lizardy first level, second level, very low level beings, which are not even huge. She said, I can't stand to look at them. They're hideous. And they are trying to prevent communication from ever being established between this realm of reality and the realm where the dead are. Now, why, you'd say, why are they being so, you know, nasty about that? Why does it matter to them? The answer seems to be that they are negative entities. They're evil entities. And they feed on the evil that we have created on this planet. We know that there's more and more strife, negativity, nasty stuff being done by one person to another. And apparently, this is, you know, just food and drink for these horrendous people. And it's distressing to me that neither religions nor science are able to really do much of anything, to even open their minds a tiny bit. And so I blame them in part for the fact that we're stuck in this situation now. But for a time, those low-level entities have been effective in halting and discouraging communication, making people go away who were trying to communicate with the dead. And only now do the teams of the dead really seem to understand what they're up against. So what Murray is doing is extremely cutting edge, my dear. He's right there on the front line.
Absolutely. And in a subsequent reading, he indicated that the dark energies have put up large roadblocks, but he advises December 2016 will be pivotal. And he also said that they draw the parallel how the U.S. relations with Cuba were bad, and they're now getting through.
Okay, so this is new for me. I had been hearing that 2016 was the big year. That the two sort of people on this level heading the teams that are having the most productive work, of which I'm aware there may be others, are Craig Hogan in Illinois and Gary Schwartz in Arizona. And both of them seem to be working with groups that include the same beings, including Einstein and Houdini and these others, who are very, very active in trying to, in some cases, in fact, I would say in the case of both Einstein and Houdini, they're trying to repair impressions they had left here, that there couldn't be communication. So, you know, good for them when they got where they were going, realized that they had misled people. They're trying to fix it now, and bless them for that.
Well, and I've got some more exciting news. In another subsequent reading, I asked Murray, are you still working on the committee? And he said, yes, myself and many others, including Carl Sagan, a man who knows a lot about time. And Roberta, the very first Friday morning of our conference, Gary Schwartz talks about Carl Sagan. Wow.
But one thing that was really amazing at this conference we held in September, and this seems to be something that will happen every September, by the way, that there will be an afterlife conference in Scottsdale. So mark your calendar.
We'll be there.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you there again. We all get to hug once a year. But what seems to have happened in a David Thompson seance on Thursday evening is that Carl Sagan materialized and handed to Gary's wife I'm not sure exactly what it was. I think it was a slip of paper with his signature, and in addition gave her some important information for him in his work. I never heard the end of that story. I'm going to have to try to catch up with Gary and hear what the message was. But this is what's going on, folks. All these people are working together, and it's making our heads spin a little bit. It's happening so quickly all of a sudden. Very exciting. But Carl Sagan is another one who gave the impression before his death, and a very trusted, honorable man, gave the impression that there probably wasn't anything after death. And now he very honorably is trying to correct that impression. So we're very grateful to him for that.
I understand that they have got a few voices with names. Is that true?
They've gotten who has gotten voices with names?
I thought Craig Hogan.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes, because you know, when I'm very loyal. I sent all this to Craig to let him know. And I got an email saying, oh, yes, we knew Monty Keene was on the committee, but we hadn't been able to contact him. And a couple of days later, he sent me an email, Monty Keene here, Monty Keene here, obviously from the other side.
Montague Keene, many people may not know, is a relatively recently deceased, very prominent British afterlife researcher. He died, I think, in early part of this century. And immediately he was coming through, and he was in a seance given in David Thompson's circle. He materialized and started telling people what he wanted said at his funeral. So that's how recent and immediate his coming through was. But he's now working very actively on communication. I guess he's seeing the world from both sides now, right? He's been here trying to do the research, and now he's there trying to assist it. So that's really satisfying to me.
And I was so fortunate because at the conference in June, I found myself standing in the concourse with Gary Schwartz beside me and no one else around. So I quickly took advantage of letting him know my husband was on the committee. And I explained, he put his hands in prayer and said, thank you, thank you. And he said, send me everything you have. I did. And would you believe he emailed me that he had got a dream the night before from Ray Miller. And Suzanne Wilson confirmed it was, in fact, my husband.
Wow.
Isn't it a wow?
For people who don't know how much is going on, I know this is a surprise, but it shouldn't be. This seems to be the time when the dead are trying hardest to help us understand what really is going on, and their reason for doing it seems to be simple. We are driving humanity to rack and ruin on this planet, and the effort to raise the consciousness of humankind and thereby turn us away from the dark side, that effort has been ongoing for at least a decade, probably closer to 20 years, that we are aware, and maybe much longer. And clearly your husband is a part of that. Very exciting, very satisfying to hear. So what does he tell you about? He tells you that 2016 will be the year when there are some really good breakthroughs, right?
He has been saying that, yes.
Which everyone else says too. What Craig has been getting is that the team is literally having, in some cases, to fight. It's hard to imagine. How do you fight? And he said when he asked that question, he was told that what they're doing is basically filling the space where these beings are with love, which is the highest vibration energy, and that is crowding them out because, of course, they're very low vibration, which, so they're love bombing them, in other words. But whatever they're doing, apparently, pretty much they're basically getting the lizards out of the way, and at the same time they're laying their fiber optic cable where they need to, through alien territory, very successfully. Oh, this is so amazing! And the result should be a good North American station, and perhaps two, which will enormously improve everybody's life, because it will be impossible then for people to say that this is not real. When you can go from the funeral to the station and talk to people you used to think were dead, to the person whose funeral you just attended, and get the recipe, or parents can hear from the child, this is where I live, these are the people taking care of me, I'm fine, I'm going to play now.
I know, it's so wonderful, and they know what's happening. This is interesting. In the last reading, Murray came through and he showed my right jaw, the number 2, the words root canal, and something you didn't like about it. But I was with you the whole time. That is so true. I had 2 emergency root canals a few weeks apart. They were both on my right jaw. And yes, it was something I didn't like about it because I was leaving for the Netherlands the following morning.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord.
But I can tell you that I did not experience any discomfort, not even for a second. And I knew with all my heart that Murray was with me in both of them, not once. And at my second one, I had just as busy a schedule the next day. So they definitely know what's happening.
Very, very exciting. That seems to be true even of people, by the way, who've been dead a long time. I think everyone who's a regular listener knows that my spirit guide, who I just recently met in person, really just last February, was someone who was very prominent in the 18th and 19th centuries, and he knows what's going on to the minute today. I mean, he's the one who's saying, you've got to get out there. You've got to do YouTubes. You've got to charge people so they'll appreciate what you're saying. He's way ahead of me in planning whatever work I should be doing. And, so how does someone who has never heard of radio even, or even electricity, how does someone like that know about YouTubes? They're on top of everything that's going on. If they choose to be, they don't have to be, but if they choose to be, they certainly can be as up to the minute as you and I, which is new information for me. I mean, every day there's new information now for me. You must feel the same way, Betty Ann, with your husband so busy.
Oh, very much so, and it's my understanding that their electronics are so, so much superior to us. Well, that's obvious when we took the course with Sonia Rinaldi, the numbers that she gave us. In some instances, I believe they were 30 times greater than what we have.
Yes, that's another point we should make. One of the things the dead are telling us is that the scientists who have died here go right to laboratories there. If they want to, it's optional. But there are laboratories equipped for them where they can really make some cutting-edge discoveries and developments. And then when it's deemed that we're ready for them, they will channel them in to usually 2 or 3 researchers here who are receptive to them, who will then develop whatever their research has developed. They will refine it for use in this material level of reality, because even though it may work well there, it won't necessarily work well here unless it's modified. But the ideas are coming from researchers who live in a place where much better information about what's going on, frankly, is available to them. And that's the afterlife levels. Very integral communication between there and here is already going on. I think it's just important to mention that fact.
It is, and if I go back to when we celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary through a reading, Marie said he still feels very much married to me, and I still feel very much married to him. Me too. So I thought that was great news. And 48 relatives arrived. My mom and dad arrived with their poodle, Ginny, and Ginny was giving kisses to everyone on the other side just the way she used to on this side.
That's what they do. Well, there's more information there to talk about. Some people will say, do I have to be married there? I don't like my husband. Or other people will say, they say we can't be married there, but we love one another. And the truth seems to be that love is all that matters. I guess we already know that. So if you have a spouse with whom you have a loving relationship, you certainly can live together and be as married as you ever were. But if you don't want to be with someone any longer, you don't have to even see them. It's really, love is really what determines how our relationships will go when we get there. But I think more and more I'm coming to understand that the difference there is there's no exclusivity. We don't have the same sort of jealousy and sense of needing to be two by two that we have here, because we love everybody there. I mean, we have so many friends that we can't even remember now because we're in our bodies, but when we get there, we're going to want to spend time with them too. So what's beautiful is there's no limit to the love. You can love 100 people infinitely, and there's still no limit. And that's what's the most beautiful thing of all, I think.
That's my understanding also. And Marie has also told me that we have been husband and wife many times before in other lives.
Well, that's wonderful. So it's getting to be a habit with you now, is it?
I guess that's why it was love at first sight.
Oh, wow.
To find each other. It all makes sense now that I'm studying and learning this.
Yes, it does make beautiful sense. We very often will plan a series of lifetimes together if we are tight with someone, and we'll have different roles in those lifetimes. We change genders. We change, you know, you might be spouses or parent-child or close friends or even enemies, but it'll be two beings or three going forward in a lot of different lifetimes. My guide tells me that we've had 17 lifetimes together, and which would explain why he seems real familiar to me now. But it's all about love. You know, Jesus said this, and you know, Jesus is right about just about everything, I guess I have to say. Because indeed it is all about love.
Yes, it is. And I just hope everyone can understand that love is eternal.
Love is eternal. It doesn't change. And our personalities don't really change either, which when we get there, we become who we truly are. But we're sort of that now anyway. It's just that we're so distracted by the issues and the problems of daily life here. When that goes away, we're distilled to who we truly, truly are. And in Murray's case, he's really a heck of a guy. So what he's doing is negotiating with aliens in order to lay the cable? That's what you said?
That's his responsibility. That's what he's responsible for. And that makes sense, because that's what he did here in the world. He negotiated with people, and he had very fine human relations skills.
Human and alien relation skills, it turns out. He's broadening his portfolio. My goodness, that's wonderful.
Well, I'm so proud of him. I was so proud of him when he was here. And I just think this is fabulous news. I just get so excited.
I should say that every time I have seen you, Betty Ann, you have had this joy about you. You're always light. You're always smiling. You're always joyous. Which I think is, I hope anyway, reassurance to people who may be about to lose or may have lost a spouse. You can keep that love going. It doesn't have to die. When someone loses a body, you can, as you're proving, there's a whole new adventure ahead in keeping that relationship perfect and beautiful and growing ever stronger. Which is, even to me, even more important than the wonderful information about the North American station. Love is eternal, and love stays beautiful and becomes more so.
Definitely. And just think, Murray knows how much I love him to be hiring mediums 74 times. And as a matter of fact, I'm just organizing now for 2016, because you have to book a year in advance, sometimes 2 and 3 years in advance.
Right.
You have to wait. So just think how, I know it just makes my mom and dad feel so happy. And I could just feel in my uncle's energy how happy he was that he could come through. And
all right, well, let's ask a question, because several people have now perked up and said, all right, she goes to all these different mediums. Were they all accurate, or did you find some that were not getting it right?
Every single one has been accurate.
Really?
Every single one. I really work. You know, you want to hire the best electrician.
Yes.
And I really searched to hire the best mediums.
Well, you certainly did succeed then. I had terrible experiences when I researched mediums in the late 90s, early aughts, to the point where I didn't believe in them until I met Suzanne Wilson. I thought they were all crooks, but turns out I was wrong. So I'm very reassured to hear. Are you going to do a blog post or something telling us who all these mediums are so people can see who got the Betty Ann Miller seal of approval?
I hadn't planned to do that. Actually, I got the one that I found that did Thanksgiving reading. I was at the conference in Phoenix and I was eavesdropping. There were three lovely young ladies behind me talking about this great medium that they had found. So I turned around and said, I apologize for eavesdropping. Do you mind sharing her name? And she was truly outstanding.
And wow.
I was so fortunate to get an appointment with her so quickly.
And have you had any readings more than once with any of these mediums?
I have, yes. Kathleen Tucci has been very kind, and I've had many with Kathleen. Murray never lasts an hour with Kathleen. He only lasts 20 to 30 minutes, and I pay for an hour. So that means I get 2 or 3 readings, but many of them. Suzanne Wilson will only read once every 6 months. Chris Diller will only read once a year. I've got a reading with him coming up in December.
Well, everybody needs a hobby, dear. And it looks like you've discovered a terrific one that you can share with your husband, which is the best part.
Well, I will always love him, and I would always want to know what he's doing and that he's comfortable, and to know that he's busy working. Oh, isn't that amazing?
It is.
He certainly knows everything that I do.
The thing that is reassuring, I think, to us is that we do continue to do the work that we choose in the afterlife. Here, we think of work as drudgery because often it's not what we feel like doing on a given day. But there's no need for money. There's no need to eat or drink or sleep or do any of the things that complicate our lives. So we can just think, what is the thing that will make me most joyous today? And very often, it's going to be some kind of work that will help other people. That's true even at the very highest levels of the afterlife. I think we increase our feeling of need of trying to help other people and help the world. So that's a lot to look forward to. If you don't have to work, work becomes joy, pure joy.
Yes, and as you say, they are certainly over there to serve. Here, we really, the only right we have is the right to be useful and serve.
Yeah, I think this has been certainly eye-opening for me. I thought, well, I know Betty Ann's story, and I kind of knew a little bit about what he was up to, but this has been very illuminating. You've helped a lot of people today, dear. Thank you very much for that. I'm so sorry that we're coming to the end of our time. You don't have a website or a book or anything yet, right?
Well, I was working on a book. I have documented every one of Murray's readings, but I think it's just for me. I'm not planning to go any further.
Well, if you feel as if you want to write a book, let's talk, because I'm happy to help you write it. I've in helping Mikey write it, I really feel as if I gave a voice to someone who is really going to materially change the world. And frankly, Murray is someone else who can do that. So we'll talk, you and I.
Well, thank you, because Murray has been nagging at me since he first crossed over. He wants me to write a book.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about this off air, because I really like Murray a whole bunch, and I'd love to help him if we can. But I'm really sorry to have come to the end of this time, but we're going to be talking again, you and I. And meanwhile, I've got to say, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began like Murray, and you never will end. And when you fully grasp all the implications of that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, of course, past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net and also on iTunes. Just search for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I've talked about the fact that my nonfiction books, I also write novels, but my nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, The Fun of Staying in Touch, Liberating Jesus, and Flying High in Spirit, and pretty soon Murray Speaks. That'll be fun. I can't wait. You'll find details about all my books, plus my blog at robertagrimes.com. Now, our guest next week, all the way from New Zealand, is expected, if we can make this work, to be a very special treat for us all. David Thompson is among the most advanced physical mediums on the face of the earth. And he is one of maybe three or four of his quality who are willing to sit in public seances. And frankly, that is an enormous sacrifice on his part. And I'm very grateful to him, and as are many others, that he's willing to do it. I've had the joy of meeting David. He's as humble and personable as he is brilliant. You will love him. So please do join us next week. Let's hope we can make this work. This week we've been speaking with Betty Ann Miller about her irrepressible husband, Murray, and the amazing work that Murray is now doing only 3 years after his death out of this life. He is one of the few extraordinary beings who are advancing the cause of electronic communication for the good of all of humankind. You know, we didn't know when Murray was here what he would be capable of, and I just have to add that each of us has infinite abilities we cannot even imagine now, and it's up to us to learn and develop and grow spiritually, just as Murray has, so we'll be able to find our own beautiful ways to perfect ourselves in loving and in service and in joy. Murray's beautiful journey can be your own, and today is the day that you can begin it. Meanwhile, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.